This series is brought to you with the kind support of Wellington Management, one of the world's largest independent asset managers. Wellington believes in the importance of a diverse workforce, equitable opportunities for all colleagues to reach their potential, and an inclusive culture.
Boys get sad too. Find out why our next guest is raising awareness of this and the need for better advocacy for mental health in the workplace and beyond.
I'm Aoife Devitt, and welcome to the 50 Faces podcast, a podcast committed to revealing the richness and diversity of the world of work by focusing on people with extraordinary stories. I'm joined today by Jack Dodd, who describes himself as a human who talks about mental health. I came across him thanks to a powerful LinkedIn post he made about how boys get sad too, in which he called to normalize expressing emotion sometimes at work. He has experience in corporate partnerships in the charity sector, and prior to that has worked across human resources and recruitment. I asked Jack to join me today to talk about mental health advocacy that is close to his heart. Welcome, Jack. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Aoife. Thank you for inviting me along.
Can we start by talking about your background and how you ultimately ended up pursuing a role in recruiting and now the charity sector?
Yeah, so I mean, it's fair to say that I went through quite a few different career options in my younger days. So at school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I liked quite a lot of subjects. I actually started by doing a physiotherapy or physical therapy degree initially and realised that it wasn't for me. I did an accountancy apprenticeship at one point. I didn't enjoy that. And I ended up then studying psychology. And I thought it was a good idea to match my interests in people and human behaviour and business. And that kind of took me down the HR recruitment route originally, but then gradually realised that I was quite passionate about making change and the things that really affected people, be that emotional health, physical health, mental health. And I kind of just followed that route, really. And I just followed the things that I was most passionate about. And that's how I ended up in the charity sector, really.
And where did you grow up yourself? Was it outside London?
So I grew up in Worcester in the Midlands. So yeah, quite a decent sized city, I would say. A nice place to grow up. But ultimately, I went to university at Birmingham. And then for opportunities, I moved to the South to start my career.
Well, I'd love to dive into how you became an advocate for mental health and why you started speaking about that and trying to normalize some of the emotions that we all feel. But let's start maybe with diversity and inclusion and what your experience of that has been across some of the different sectors that you've worked in.
Yeah, sure. So I guess it's a question that when I hear, I kind of feel a little bit anxious sometimes because I don't want to speak on behalf of other people, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. That's just something that comes up in my mind sometimes when I speak about diversity and inclusion. But yeah, I think for me, the most important aspects of who I am that have been affected within the workplace are probably my mental health and then also being a gay man as well. I think probably more so my mental health. So when I was 13, my dad passed away suddenly, and I had a bit of a tough experience through school as well as dealing with that grief at such a young age. And it kind of shaped who I am and what I find important. And I guess I started to ask big questions about life and meaning and purpose from quite a young age. And my mental health did suffer as a result of my past experiences. So I guess then when I went into the workplace, it was trying to accept who I was as a person and also navigate the challenges and working with different personalities within the workplace and trying to get my head around everything. So yeah, I think in terms of diversity and inclusion as a whole, from what I see, there are lots of initiatives that are going in a really positive direction. I see a lot of training that's going on to educate people about our differences and people's backgrounds and marginalized identities. And I also see a lot of efforts being done to increase representation, particularly at senior levels. I think I would love to see more done on a kind of human level in terms of the conversation that we have. So whether that's about mental health or anything really about ourselves, I think it's so important that we understand each other's differences and really have the tools and the skills to be able to listen to one another and to rest with where we come from in terms of our viewpoint and our experience of the world, to truly listen to another person and understand how their experiences are different to ours and understand what their challenges are, what their experiences have been to date, basically what life is like for them. And I think naturally, it's a challenge for us to sit with any guilt or sadness or difficult emotions that come up. And I think if we did more work in that space to really help people to sit with those really uncomfortable feelings and have those conversations that are really tricky, I think that would really help us to have a lot more kind of meaningful conversations that would really help diversity, inclusion, and helping one another in the workplace.
So what drew me to you was a very powerful LinkedIn post, as I mentioned, about how boys get sad too. Can you talk about that post, which was an extraordinarily brave and vulnerable post, and what prompted it and what kind of response it got?
Yeah, sure. So I started posting more on LinkedIn towards the end of last year, and it came at a part of my life where I'd got to the point where I was getting really sick of hiding my mental health and the challenges that I'd faced, and just really wanted to, sounds cliche, but speak my truth and be more open and be more honest and more vulnerable as a person. And I really believe in kind of human connection, and I've benefited in the past so much from hearing other people's stories and the challenges that I've been through, or listening to musicians who have written pieces of music that talk about their sadness or difficult emotions. And it makes me feel more human and more normal. And which is why when you introduced me, kind of a tagline that I use on LinkedIn is being a human who talks about mental health, because I really like to keep the emphasis on just being human and what that means and all the complexities that comes with. So like I said, I started posting on LinkedIn late last year. And when it came to the post that you saw that I'd made, I'd seen a campaign called Boys Get Sad Too. And it's a line that really stuck with me because I am a boy, I'm a man, and I do experience sadness. And it comes up for me fairly regularly. But I think I've often told myself that I shouldn't feel sad, or that I should feel more positive and there should be a quick fix, and that I should be more upbeat, and just all these different pressures that I've put on myself in the past to not feel this emotion. So to read something like that gave me a lot of relief. And then I wanted to think about my workplace experiences, and work can be tough at times. And I've definitely got upset at work. I felt probably most emotions in the workplace. And I thought back to a time where I'd gone to the toilets to cry, essentially. And it kind of made me wonder, I thought, how many other people have experienced this? And I thought about the times where I've been having a difficult time and I've gone to cry in a meeting room. Or earlier in my career, I remember crying at my desk once. And I just thought, this is true. This is what's happened for me. And I really want to take ownership of that and not be ashamed of getting upset at work. And so I purchased a hoodie with the Boys Get To slogan on. And it just gave me those words and, I guess, a visual representation of what I wanted to say. So I created this post that said, it started by saying that I have cried in these different places at work. And I think that's okay. I tried to take quite a confident tone to take ownership of that and be proud of that, that I am just human and it's a normal emotion to express. I had no idea of the response that it would get. I think it got almost 85,000 reactions in the end and nearly 6 million views, which was overwhelming. It was a lot. And it was a really wild experience to go through, having so many comments and reshares and likes and messages. But it really highlighted to me, I think, how important the message was and how much I think people recognize the importance of talking about sadness, difficult emotions, particularly from a men's health perspective, and how it's often something that isn't spoken about and is seen as a weakness. So I think the fact that I could take ownership and express it, that I'd felt these difficult emotions and I was human, and I could be open and vulnerable, I felt really proud of myself for making that post. And then, yeah, to get the response that I got was really surreal, really surreal.
It's absolutely extraordinary. Clearly, for many people, just simply seeing another person experience and vocalizing what they're feeling was perhaps what they needed in terms of the mirroring or just feeling not alone. When you come across other people feeling sad at work or feeling the way you said you felt, have there been other ways that you find you can offer comfort? Or maybe diversionary tactics, or are there other ways to maybe in the moment in the workplace to offer ways to mitigate that feeling?
Yeah. So for me, if I'm feeling sad at work, I do one or several of a number of things. I've often got a notepad on the go with my work notes, and sometimes I'll just start journaling a little bit. Journaling is something that I find really helpful. So I'll just write at my desk, I'll just write in my book what's going through my head, what I'm feeling. I think the main thing for me is wrapping anything that I do with just this sense of it's okay, it's normal, it's okay to feel sad, it's okay to feel these emotions, you're human. and it's not going to be the case forever, and just trying to be self-compassionate with myself. So yeah, I'll write in my notepad what's going on for me, what's going through my head. And sometimes just that in itself will help me feel better. Otherwise, I'll listen to music, and it's a little bit of trial and error. So sometimes it will help to put more upbeat music on. But other times I put sad music on, and I guess I feel seen by doing that. So that I find helpful. Or I'll reach out to a colleague, be that in person or virtually, sometimes to say that I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling upset, or this is what's going on for me. Or other times I won't say what's going on. It's just establishing a bit of human connection and just feeling another person's presence, whether that's physically in person or whether that's virtually. So yeah, I think journaling, music, and connecting with another human being are things that help me in those situations.
And do you think your message, I think it also was probably the right message at the right time, given for the phase we were at in terms of emergence from COVID and the attendant grief, sense of loss, as well as isolation that came with some of that?
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot in that. Yeah, I mean, grief, like I mentioned earlier, is something that I've experienced throughout my life. Well, from when I was 13, kind of significantly. And I think referring back to what I said about acceptance and self-compassion, I think grief and processing loss and change and difficult events, like we all did through COVID, for me, I think accepting what's happened and sitting with the difficult emotions is really important to be able to process. I think it's also a time where being human, or should I say, it seems a little bit easier to be human at work because we've recognized that we've all been through this really challenging experience and the lines have been blurred a little bit between work and personal life. And I think we've got to know each other as human beings, and we've seen each other's lounges or pets or family members sometimes with video calls. And so I think we've got to know each other more on a human level. So yeah, perhaps there is more of an understanding of being human and facing difficulty and what that's like. And I think it's also a challenging time too, because in my post I referenced about being in the office and getting upset and being in meeting rooms or at your desk or in the toilets and getting upset. But obviously now a lot of us are working from home, at least some of the time. And so I live by myself, for instance. So if I'm upset at home, unless I reach out, no one's going to see that I'm upset. So I think it does add a different dimension to handling these difficult emotions. And there is a little bit more of a need to reach out, to connect with another person, because no one's going to see that you're upset. So I think, yeah, in lots of ways, COVID has had an impact. And I think whilst, like I said, we understand each other better, I think, on a human level, and how emotions and our lives outside of work come into our work lives. But I think also many people find it challenging to work from home, and it can be harder to, I think, handle some of these emotions and difficulties when we're working in isolation for some people. So I think, yeah, COVID's probably had quite a varied impact on the things that I talk about.
Absolutely. And then just want to reference also the previous podcast I recorded with Ollie Shakir Khalil, who spoke about being a mental health advocate at work, and how we also have now mental health ambassadors in some large organizations, as well as even just simple things like having a kind of place to talk, or just having resources that are publicly available to employees. I think, and I know where I'm based in the US, in the high school now, there's the concept of mental health days has become normalized. So I think we are getting better. But if you were to compare maybe the number of books on a bookshelf in a bookstore about, say, leadership skills versus the number of books about coping with grief and sadness, I think we probably would have a long way to go in terms of this being part of our main conversation.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think it's an interesting point that you make around mental health days, because I think a lot of people are still also would find it difficult to say that they needed to take a day off for their mental health. I think from what I hear, a lot of people find it difficult to, and I definitely have as well. So sometimes even take sick days for physical health issues, this feeling of guilt, and like I should be at work, or I must be really, really unwell in order to not work. Otherwise I'll feel bad for being off. So yeah, I think this definitely is more of an understanding movement around mental health, but it is hard. And that's where I think the self-compassion comes in. It's hard for us to say, oh, do you know what? I'm really not feeling well today, or I'm really feeling like I'm struggling and I feel overwhelmed. And I actually think the best thing for me is to take a day off. And do I feel comfortable saying that to my line manager or whoever I need to speak to at work? And then am I actually able to sit at home and relax and not feel bad for it? So I think there's so many complexities to how society has shaped our thoughts about prioritizing looking after ourselves and mental health and all these bits of stigma that we still face, which I think for me shows that there's still a lot more work for us to do so that we all feel, I guess, comfortable and empowered to take the right steps for us when it comes to our health and not feel like we're being selfish or guilty for it.
Well, that's been some great, very helpful piece of advice that you've given there. And let's just go back for a few reflective questions onto your own career journey, perhaps. Have there been any setbacks or challenges that have particularly had impact on you, maybe career-wise?
Yes, plenty. Yeah, a number really. And I think they've all shaped my experiences and where I've ended up. I actually got a job on a graduate program when I first left university, but not long before I started the job in London. I broke my foot and I found it really hard when I moved because getting around in London on crutches and I had one of those boots to protect my broken foot, it was really challenging and it was hard for me to get to the office. And I ended up working from home quite a lot. I was living by myself at the time. And yeah, I really struggled. I found it really hard trying to embed myself into a new city, a new organization, trying to deal with my broken foot. I felt very anxious. And I ended up leaving that job because I was really thinking about what the employer and my colleagues were thinking of me, you know, having just joined the organization, not being able to perform at a high level, struggling with getting into the office, struggling with mental health because I was really anxious. I didn't know how quickly it was going to heal. And that it was my first real job, in inverted commas, after university. So yeah, that really shaped me because I decided to leave the organization and I moved back in with my parents for a bit and kind of took stock and reflected on what was important to me. And I learned a lot from that process. And I think any other kind of challenge or difficulty I faced, I've always tried to, I think I'm better at it now, but try to be compassionate with myself and recognize that we do make changes in our career and that sometimes we don't know what's right for us or the environments that we like or the jobs that we like until we try them. So yeah, I think there's definitely been times that I've learned a lot from challenges and setbacks.
Were there any key people throughout your career journey or personally who had a very positive impact on you, whose impact you can share here?
Yeah, I mean, I think broadly, I always try and learn a lot from line managers. I think it's a really unique relationship where you get to work so closely with somebody and just talk about your development. So I always try and learn from the different personalities of the people that I've worked with. I've had a few mentors in the past as well that have really helped and supported me on my journey. I'd say probably the most, or the people that have had the biggest impact on me are probably the friends that I've actually made throughout the different workplaces that I've worked in. And I've worked with some great people where I've seen vulnerability and, you know, meeting people who are prepared to talk really openly about what they did at the weekend. And even if that was challenging or the emotions that they went through, and I still keep these friends to date or people that have helped me when I've been in those situations where I've been upset and they've come and sat with me in a meeting room while I've cried. So I think I used to have a real emphasis on I need to be inspired by leaders and I need to be inspired by people that have been really successful in like at least senior positions. But in all honesty, I'm really inspired by the friends that I've made and the people that I've seen ultimately being human in the workplace and being themselves and being authentic. They're the people that really inspire me. And I'm really lucky that they're still my friends today, even though we don't work together anymore.
And just my final question is around maybe any piece of advice that you've heard and maybe that you would give to your younger self as well. Is there anything that you can share there?
Yeah, so I think something that I've been holding on to recently is I saw an article, I saw it a few years back, and then for some reason I came across it again, that was about a palliative care nurse who looked after people who were dying. And she gathered their top regrets. And the top regret was regretting not living a life that was true for those people to themselves rather than the life that was expected of them. And that's really what's led me to, I guess, being on this podcast through being more open and being more vulnerable and being true to myself. I think throughout school and through a lot of my younger years, I tried to hide the aspects of me that were unique or that I didn't think were cool or that I thought people wouldn't like about me. And actually, a lot of my work in recent years has been to rediscover those parts of myself and realize that I do really like them about myself, and actually that they are what make me unique. So what I keep trying to stay rooted in, and I've got a post-it note in front of me, which says "Speak Your Truth," which I wrote just before coming onto this podcast. And I also wrote down some of my values, and my values are being honest and being vulnerable, or trying not to be cliche, being original, like things that are unique to me and thoughts that I've had without trying to be influenced by, I mean, obviously we are influenced by the people around us, but just trying to be true to myself, and which is why I do the LinkedIn posts that I do, which is why I speak openly, which is why I try and be vulnerable. Yeah, I just want to live my life in a way that is as authentic to me as possible. I feel it now. I feel how liberated I am and how comfortable I am in my own skin when I can talk openly and just be myself. And it's just such a sweet feeling that I don't want to lose. So yeah, when I came across that study, and it's something that I hold on to, and knowing that there are people that have been through their whole lives and their top regret is not being true to themselves, and instead they've lived lives that they thought were expected of them, that gives me the push that, you know, this is a way of living that works for me, and I think it's a way of living that can be beneficial to a lot of us. So yeah, that's what I try and hold on to.
Well, thank you so much, Jack. Your contribution to the dialogue is so powerful and so impactful, and I know it comes from a place of, as you said, simply trying to speak your truth and from great humility, but I don't want you to discount just how powerful that has been. It has opened the door to so many others to normalize feeling the way you feel. And I think that it will go a long way. So I'm hopeful that both this podcast, building on your LinkedIn post, will continue to provide relief and I think comfort to others. So thank you so much for coming here and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you, Ethan. I've had such a lovely time talking to you and preparing for this podcast. And yeah, it's been a wonderful experience to have the opportunity to just talk more about how I feel and what I've been doing and my experiences. So I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, we're going to spread the word. I'm Ethan Devitt. Thank you for listening to the 50 Faces podcast. If you liked what you heard and would like to tune in to hear more inspiring people on their personal journeys, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice, and all views are personal and should not be attributed to the organizations and affiliations of the host or any guest.